While she's doing that, would you join us as we add another prayer? Amen. Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, thank you. Thank you for being faithful. We ask you, Lord, that you will bless. The prayer has already been prayed. This will be a special service. Make this a special message. May your Holy Spirit visit us. Empower us. Encourage, inspire, and everything that's needed. We don't want to be up here without your help. Bless the Lord, build a house. They that labor, labor in vain. So I ask for your blessings. Impart to everyone something special. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject is control. A mega Texas rancher wants to control his herd. You don't want them to just wander off of his property. So he puts fences, or has fences around, placed to keep them in bounds of where he wants them to be. People that drive vehicles want to have control over their vehicle. I was in an uncontrollable vehicle one time. We were going to Los Angeles to be in Sunday morning service. And after we got on the Golden State Freeway, the vehicle we were in was a Plymouth station wagon, or if you call it an SUV. Anyway, the driver wasn't in control because the accelerator was stuck. Well, we were out of control, and we actually hit something. When, with the help of the Lord and the emergency brake, and perhaps her putting her foot down as hard as she could on the brake, we got over and stopped. We were in the lane that was right next to the center part, where you're not supposed to be. The lane of traffic, the last lane of traffic is over here in other lanes. I don't know just how many they had right along in there, but here we was over here. She didn't know, of course, to turn off the ignition or put it in neutral or whatever maybe could have helped her have control. But if you turn off the ignition, the power steering isn't functioning properly, is it? But at any rate, here we was, because the vehicle we had started out with wasn't in the control of the driver. Well, after a while, a California Highway Patrol lady showed up, and she called for some help, and this man got out of his vehicle, this patrolman, he stopped every lane of traffic. And she pushed us over to this side. Well, we didn't make it to church that morning. But we got out alive. Control. School teachers like control. How many school teachers here today? Just one? There's more in here than that. Don't you teach, Sister Lois? Well, you're still a teacher. Do you like to control your students? What happens if you can't control them? Chaos. If everybody's standing up talking, throwing the paper one, laughing, does the teacher have control? Do you like to have that kind of situation? You know. So teachers like to be in control. Have control of their students. If they don't, is there much accomplished or good in sitting or being in a classroom if the teacher doesn't have control of the students? Well, as much as human beings like control, there's some things that they cannot control. And one of them is, if you live long enough, you're going to get old. No fountains of youth. It's an automatic thing. You got an alternative. Die young. But if you live, you're going to get old. You can change the color of your hair. Keep the gray from showing. You can have Botox to decrease your wrinkles. But in reality, you're getting old. Of all the preventative measures you may exert, the fact is you're going to get old. Another fact. Most adults pay some kind of a tax. Sales tax, property tax, income tax. And even if you're homeless and you buy a loaf of bread in Oklahoma, you're going to pay some sales tax. Is that out of your control? Try not doing it. If you get a receipt and you see the tax is so much, and you say, I bought these items, and I'm not paying the tax, see what happens. So, there's some things out of your control. If you have an unsaved child, you can't make them be saved. They have a mind of their own. And they have choices that they can make. If you have an adult child, that they can make without your permission. So you can't control your unsaved children to the fact that you can make them be a saint. Amen. I know a sister, she's in her 90s. Her daughter is in a unbiblical marriage, married the second time, divorced her husband, got remarried. And it breaks this sister's heart. But her daughter doesn't want her talking to her. She cannot make her change. She can pray for her, and she does that. But to just make her be saved, that's not her power, or she would have been saved years ago. And we're pretty helpless people. Even saved and sanctified people are helpless. But God looks after his helpless people. One song says, "Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." Well, in fourth chapter of Mark, there was the disciples of the Lord in what looked to be a life-threatening situation. 35th verse. In the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him others, little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awakened him and said unto him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, if you get the picture of a ship and a great wind that has come up, and the wind is so strong that it causes the waves to fill the ship. Here they are in a ship, and instead of the waves, use your imagination now. Instead of the waves being out here where they should be, they were in here. Would that seem a concern?
Yeah.
And here they are, walking around in water. The wind blowing and the waves keep coming. Would you be afraid? Would you be feeling helpless? Would you feel like something was out of your control? But there was one on board who was able to control the uncontrollable. And he stood up. Jesus stood up somewhere on this ship and said to talk to the waves. The disciples didn't talk to the waves or the wind. But Jesus talked to the waves. And he said, Be still. And what happened? There was a great calm. A great peace. All the disciples should have stood in awe, shouldn't they? What manner of man is this that the waves obey him? So even though things was out of the disciples' control, it wasn't out of Jesus' control. He came to their rescue and was able to bring a calm where there had been terror and fright. He was able to bring a calm. Not only were these disciples in uncontrolled situations, remember Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh. Not a pleasant thing to happen. I was walking out there in California, and I had on some shoes that were just rubber soled, and I stepped on that fist. Can you see it back there, Glenda? It's maybe a half inch thorn. And it's pointed, and it hurt. A little thorn. I took off my shoe or a sock at some time, and I seen a little blood, but it really hurt. Not just at the initial step on it, it hurt a while. A while after it happened, it was bothering me. Well, he didn't have this kind of thorn sticking him. But he had something very uncomfortable in his life. And he wanted it out. Would be natural, wouldn't it? And so, he had got results from prayer before, and he started praying. One time, two times, three times. It was out of Paul's control.
Yes, that's true.
And it was going to stay out of his control, but there was going to be grace given to be able to be sustained in this uncomfortable situation of having thorn. Help of the helpless. Oh, abide with me. Job was caught in a situation where things were out of control in his life, and actually there was permission given to Satan to take his life out of control. You believe it? And he was peeled away of his assets. He was one of the richest man in the East. And a lot of people would like to be in his sandals at that time. But then the cattle, the different assets was peeled away. And on top of that, 10 children were allowed by God to be taken. Somewhere, if they recovered the bodies of these children, there were 10 fresh graves. I heard about a tornado that came in Oklahoma years ago to a couple's home, and they were trying to make it to their safety, and they made it, but they had a child, the mother did, in her arms, and that tornado just took the child out of their arms. There, in the Joplin tornado, there was a young man in his car with a sunroof, and it just took him out of. Tornadoes have that power. Well, after the tornado left, they went to seek the baby. Searched and couldn't find it. Give up the search. But the mother thought her baby was still alive, and her and some neighbors prayed. Next morning, she resumed her search, and she heard a cat in over the lilac bush. She went and parted the branches. It wasn't a cat, it was her baby. She found the baby alive. I don't know if they found Job's children alive. No, they didn't. They didn't find those. But they may have found the body. So, he goes through all of this out of control. Job didn't want to lose all of his assets and 10 children, but it was beyond his control. Well, there was another conversation. In Job, the 2nd chapter. And the Lord said, 3rd verse, and the Lord said unto Satan, as I considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou hast moved me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to the face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. God just stepped back and let the enemy take Job out of control. But he still had to play by God's rules because he couldn't take his life. So, in a sense, God was in control of this. But Job was left to what the enemy wanted to afflict him with. And he started, at the sole of his feet. And what happened? Boils. What would it be like to walk on boils? And you notice the devil started at the sole of his feet. Have you ever heard somebody have in prayer and anointing and they say, blessed from the crown of your head, their head? See, God's blessings come down. And the devil, he starts underneath, didn't he? Well, the boil spread all the way up to the top of his head. Sit on them. Lay on them. And they probably smelled awful. You know, oozing out the corruption that boils have. He scraped himself. He was in a pretty out of control situation, wasn't he? And then, the nerve of his wife. You know, the devil said, he'll curse you. And what did his wife suggest him to do? She did what? She did what the devil said he was going to do. She said that. Job, just curse God and go kill yourself. Curse him and die. You can, a lot of people perhaps have cursed God and lived, but not if you go commit suicide. So here he is in this situation with the enemy stripping him of his assets, with the enemy touching his body from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head with boils, and then his wife suggesting what the devil said he was going to do, curse God and die. But he didn't do it, did he? Even though Job could not control his circumstance, he could control his will and hold his integrity. If your circumstances is out of control, you still have a will. And by God's help, you can control your integrity. So, there's good news for the people of God. Some things may be out of your control and you cannot change them. But you can still hold your integrity with God and refuse to get an attitude or to say something against God. You know, a lot of people with troubles, they blame it on God. Or another person. Do they blame it on the devil? It's not fair to God, is it? People can make choices and decisions and get themselves into trouble, and God can have mercy on them.
Sister Mary?
Sure.
The Lord, I believe, gave him power to take his wife too, but the enemy didn't take his wife.
Yeah.
He saved her for later to work against Job to say the very thing that he was trying to get Job to say. Took his whole family.
Yeah.
He didn't take his wife. The enemy said, I'm going to save her for later so I can do some more damage and make him curse God.
Thank you for your input there. So, and he likes to use the things that's close to you. The thing that will affect you the deepest, give you the most emotional torpedoes to your emotions, that's what he likes to do. And when the assets didn't work, and when the sickness didn't work, he used the closest thing, his wife, to trip him up. It didn't work, though, did it? Well, there was three Hebrew boys that were captive in a foreign land, and the king made a big image and gathered a lot of people, and people were supposed to bow down and worship this image. And these three Hebrew boys had some spiritual backbone. And the penalty for failure to comply with the requests of the king was to be thrown into a furnace that was probably already hot enough to cremate them. The music played. And the people begin to bow at the designated time. All of them down. The three. Standing up. The people of God are supposed to stand up. Be a spectator. And what if they whispered to each other, let's just bend our knees. They stood tall and erect, and the eyes of the people was upon them. And they got the king involved. Oh, he was upset. His word had been disobeyed. Well, they were brought unto him and stood before him flat-footed, eye to eye. He gave them a second chance, or was going to give them a second chance. If they didn't budge a bit, they said, our God's able to deliver us, but if not, we will not. Boldness. Bow down. We won't do it. Situation's out of our control. The furnace is there. The command's there. And they got some cords and bound them. Tossed them on into a fire that was hot enough to cremate them. The men that stood outside that threw them in, healthy, strong men, died from the heat that come from the furnace. I got to looking inside. They didn't see ashes, did they? And they didn't see three, did they? How many did they see? Four. How did that happen? Only three thrown in, and there's four? Oh, that's the kind of company they have in the furnace, folks. Yeah, the one song says the furnace door was open and it said, I felt his touch. I couldn't see him, but I felt his touch. The fourth was in there, and it was Jesus. He had the power over the waves, and he had power over the heat. He took the burnout. And the awe-stricken king had him brought out. And they wasn't even singed. They didn't smell like smoke. If God's in control, can you come out smoke-free? That you won't even be smelling like it or looking like it. They were all intact. They come out different than they went in. The thing that was binding them was no longer binding them. They got a promotion. God got a promotion. He was able to get glory out of an uncontrolled situation. When Daniel was preferred above the Medes and the Persians, jealousy pervaded. And they decided, we don't want this Daniel. And they schemed up something that the king fell for. He fell hard. It puffed up his ego, what they had said. The decree was made that there wasn't anything to be asked of any person for 30 days. They knew Daniel prayed. And so the consequences for a violation of that was going to be cast into a den of lions. It wasn't the furnace, it was the lions. And so everything was set. It was made law. And they were watching. And they were waiting. They probably knew he was going to show up. And he did. And they seen him. They didn't get him on the first time. But they waited again. And they told on him. Oh, the king felt bad about what he found out, all the detail. The law had been set in concrete. And the king was going forward to have him put in the den of lions. It was out of Daniel's control. Yeah. He didn't stop the process of the law being fulfilled. And he was put in there. But there was a God in control. He went before Daniel and he closed the mouth. He wouldn't have made a good appetizer for that bunch of lions. He wouldn't have. But they couldn't take a nibble. Oh, you can ask Daniel when you get to heaven. How was it in there? What was it like? Did you use one of them for a pillow?
Yeah.
The old king couldn't sleep that night.
No.
When the day got coming on, he wanted to go where Daniel was. And he called out there, oh, Daniel, as your God saves you, something to that effect. Daniel could have said, I'll just play a little trick on him and be quiet. Let him stew a little bit. Didn't do that. The old king lived forever. Our God took care of something I couldn't do. He was in control and kept those lions' mouths shut. They got him out of there. And the men that connived to get this to happen, them and their family was to have the fate of being cast into the den. And before they hit the bottom, the lions had their meal. God can control things that you can't control. Let go and let God. What is that poem of serenity? Help me to accept those things I can't change. There's things in your life that you can't change, folks. And one of them is a thing that a lot of people want to avoid even thinking about. But I got my casket picked out. Got my little bitty tombstone and my name on it. Everyone in here is going to die. That's out of your control. God has set that in cement. Hebrew writer says, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that is the judgment. You have an appointment. In life you may have skirted and got out of appointments. Maybe you had a dental appointment. And you got so afraid you called up and said, I'm not coming. You can't do that with death. You're going to have an appointment with death. I'm going to have an appointment with death. That's out of our control. We can't change that. No more than we can change getting old. No more than you can change paying taxes. You're going to get old and you're going to die. And sometimes, well, some people won't get old, but some die suddenly. And some go through the process of aging. Ecclesiastes tells about the breakdown of the human body. And it tells about what you should do before it collapses. And that is, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth, when the evil days come not nigh, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When the sun or the light of the moon, of the stars, be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. When your eyes are able to behold the light, the sun, the moon. But there are people that go blind in their older age. I have a certain amount of loss of sight myself. These are fairly cheap reading glasses. And I couldn't read this up here if I didn't have these. Aging process. And it goes on. And the doors be shut in the street. When people become shut in, I was talking with a sister not long ago. She's not a real, real old sister, but she hasn't been out of her home in a considerable amount of times. People will actually get to the place where they are homebound, housebound. Some people that live in nursing homes never get outside. They're shut in. The door shut in the street. When the sound and the grinding is low, when your ears, the hearing's impaired, and you can't hear. I believe Brother Marty Clevenger told that his hearing was affected, and he's not just an old man. And the grinder, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and the daughters of mystic shall be brought low. And when he shall be afraid of that which is on high. You don't see 80 and 90 year old men up on these high rises of building, do you? They're afraid to get up there. And one of the places it says about the keepers of the house shall tremble, and that verse that we skipped over there. That it gets shaky. I was to visit a 90-year-old sister in Oregon just recently, and she has some condition that she just shakes, and her daughter has to feed her. The keepers of the house, this is the hands, shall tremble. They're not able. They're not stable like they was when they was young. This is the process of getting to the end. And it goes on and tells about how the grasshopper should be a burden. And then it says that desire shall fail. And the actually people get to the that had been hearty eaters probably, had good appetites. One sister in Oklahoma, she loved food. And one day she had the sugar thing. And she just loved food. But she got to the point that her desire for food left her. Her daughter come to me probably with tears in her eyes. Desire for food failed. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. When man's heart, woman's heart, beats for the last time, when the breath, his last breath is taken, when the brain is brain dead, man goeth his long home. And if there have been those that have appreciated the mourners. You ever seen a funeral procession? The mourners go about in the streets. We're going to die, folks. And if you die without a Savior, you're going to be without control for eternity. Remember the man that was in the spirit world, the rich man? How he wanted a drop of water. In his life, he could afford gallons of it. Right? He was rich. He fared sumptuously. Not sporadically, but every day. He dressed in the finest purple. Purple was a special color, wasn't it, for the rich. But in the spirit world, he had no control. He could have had water, 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 and more water in life. But in the spirit world, he was out of control. He wanted it because he was in torment. He was in distress. And it's going to get even worse when this happens. It's written about in Revelation, the 21st chapter, 10th verse, and the devil that had destroyed them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It'll get worse for the rich man. He's going to be cast into a lake of fire. He's already in torment. But he will be cast into a lake of fire. And he will be there forever and ever. There'll be no end to it. He'll be out of control. Page 399 bears this out. Do you have the song book? Look at it. Lost forever. The verse that we're going to read, all of them are profound. Third verse. What can you plead, poor sinner, in the great judgment day? Heaven now offers you favor. Oh, do not cast it away. Sliding the warnings repeated, leaving you in whose control? Tamar. Leave you in Satan's control and with all heaven rejected, lost your soul. See, this is what's going to happen in eternity to those that die without a Savior. You will be forever in control of the devil. You want that? No, you don't. If you're unsaved today, you don't want that happen to you. If you got faults in your life that will lead you back into sin, you don't want to be lost forever. You don't. You don't want to be saved today, but I guarantee you, you don't want to be lost forever. To be forever in Satan's control. No escape. No exits. No exits, folks. No escape. Choices. It's God that we need to have in control of our lives. Our Father today, you see us helpless people. We need you. We need you to help us in those areas of our life where we have need of you controlling. Help us, Lord. Oh, God. We know of those who, if you would come today, they would be in this situation that this song just described. The devil has succeeded in taking the fear of God off of people's lives. Oh, give shock and awe to the reality of being lost forever. Have mercy upon souls that are unsaved today. Have mercy on those that's on background and lukewarm. Have mercy on those that need a stir in their hearts. That are drifting away. Have mercy on those that turn away from truth. To walk another way. Oh God. You're our hope today. You're our help. You know how feeble us human beings are. Dust, we are worms of the dust. God bless us. Bless everyone here today. Bless every child that they will remember their Creator in the days of the youth. And when things happen, they can depend on God to help them through. Bless this congregation in Dallas, Texas, Lord. May everyone seek to be in the will of God where you want them, Lord. Father, bless and undertake now. If there's those that need help today, supply their need. Help them to see it's God they need above everything else. Job, education, you're to be number one. Many's lost sight of that. Remind them, dear Lord. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is thy hope, O Savior?